Guy Flamen, the host of the Pipeline Show here on TSN 1260, joins us now. Flamer, how are you?
I'm well, Jason. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, buddy. Thank you for doing it. Also, another good story, Carl Stollery from the Camrose Kodiaks, undrafted player, playing his 11th NHL game tonight, but first in Edmonton, so good for him.
Yeah, he's bounced around a little bit after his days in Merrimack, but I remember watching him in Camrose. He was a good little player. Went undrafted, probably because of his size, but he's carved out a nice little pro career.
Yeah, good for him. I'm sure his family would be pumped. First time playing, really, in his closest to home game. So good for him. Grew up an Oiler fan. Let's start with the late game, Boston University and North Dakota. Of course, Jack Eichel will be having a lot of people watching that game tonight. Who do you like?
I'm taking North Dakota to win that one, but it should be a really, really exciting game. It's probably the best two teams. Definitely the best two teams left in the tournament, but I would say arguably the best two teams all this season. And I think Boston University has a really high-powered, high-end offense, and North Dakota is just really deep, and they're older. They have more veteran players. They're a team that's at the Frozen Four almost every year, it seems like. 7 of the last 11 years they've been to the Frozen Four, haven't won it. But they have a lot of experience going that far. So I think it's going to be a young, offensive-minded team against a very deep veteran, defensively sound, but can score as well, team in North Dakota. Should be a great game.
And North Dakota's got the Schmaltz brothers, former first-round, well, not former, but first-round picks of the Blues. Jordan was taken, I think he was 25th overall, and then his younger brother Nick was taken 20th overall by the Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, those guys are a pretty dangerous duo.
Absolutely. One's a forward, one's a defenseman, and Nick's the forward. And they are a pretty good offensive 1-2 punch. But there's a lot of drafted players on North Dakota. They have 13 drafted players on their roster. And the other three teams have 7 each. So that just gives you – I mean, it also has something to do with the age of North Dakota. They are a team that's led by a lot of juniors and seniors, and most of the guys that go to North Dakota end up getting drafted or signed as free agents once their career is done. So that's an indication of how strong and how deep North Dakota is.
Other than Jack Eichel, is there any other draft-eligible guys left?
There's a couple more on Boston University's team, as a matter of fact. One of them, the most notable, is probably his name is A.J. Greer. We just had him on the Pipeline Show about 2-3 weeks ago. He's Canadian, comes from Quebec. He's a big power forward. I think he's 6'4 and about 215 pounds. Probably a depth off forward at the professional level. I think he's playing on their second line tonight, but he's only got 4 or 5 or 6 goals this season. Not a big offensive threat, but a big power forward and who could ride shotgun with the offensive guys and provide them some physical support.
And if people are just watching for fun, if they're looking for a homegrown connection, of course, Brandon Hickey, who I watched, played with my nephew in Leduc for many years and to the AJHL, outstanding skating defenseman for BU.
They rave about him, too. We just had David Quinn, their head coach, on our show on Monday, on our coach's show, and he raved about him. Everybody I've talked to that covers college hockey this year, I mean, they call him a beast, and all those kind of adjectives, just talking about how great of a season he's had as a freshman. And, the Calgary Flames ended up drafting, I think, 3rd-round pick by Calgary, if I remember correctly. And that's one that looks really good. And there's another local product playing in the tournament, in fact, in the game that starts here in about 15 minutes. His name's David Pope, plays for Omaha, and he's a freshman this year. And I think he had 15 points or something in 35-ish games. So, it's not stellar numbers, but as a freshman, they're not bad either. And he's drafted by Detroit. So a couple local guys for fans to watch today.
Guy Flamen joins us, Frozen Four. Now, Nebraska-Providence, I know Flame fans will likely be watching that game because you've got Jankowski, Gilmore, and Gillies all playing for that team. Which one of those three do you think has the best pro potential?
Oh, Gillies. No, I don't think there's any question about that. John Gillies is the big goaltender. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an NHLer in 2 to 3 years. And I think most people expect he's got one more year of eligibility, but I think most people expect he's going to sign after this year. The other two, Gilmore and Mark Jankowski, they're both juniors as well, so they have another year of eligibility. But I think they probably expect both of those guys back. I don't think either one are NHL ready by any means yet. Mark Jankowski, you remember.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jay Feaser's big pick. He said they stole him, and everybody was going to regret that. He had all of 5 goals this year, so I don't think his offense is quite ready for the next level yet. A bunch of assists, but I think he's still playing on their third line. So, no, for me, John Gillies is the prize guy from Providence right now for the Flames.
You know, it's there's still you know, there now the, obviously there's a lot of talk about NCAA free agency and, you know, guys that are going to sign, and some guys have signed and some haven't. If you had to rank, who's the best free agents yet to sign left?
Well, that's a good one. I think most of the really talented guys have been snapped up so far. Boy, I don't have a list in front of me. I know there are a couple of guys for North Dakota that I like, but I expect Clark Jagula. Drake Gajula is expected to come back for his senior year, so I don't think he's going to sign this year. But he's a slightly undersized guy, but he's built like a bowling ball, and I think he's one of their leading scorers this year. I expect he'll sign, but I don't think it'll be this year. The other guys, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I'm sorry, Jason, that the four teams that are still playing. There isn't a free agent that jumps out off the page at me. I think Boston University has a guy named, I'd have to pull up his name, but there is a forward with Boston University, I think, that is probably somebody that's going to get some attention. I don't have the roster right in front of me. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No worries. I was just wondering if there was any left that of note, and I know that you would know if there was any big-name guys left.
Evan Rodriguez,
all right.
One of their leagues. He plays alongside Jack Eichel on that same line. So.
Okay.
There's one.
I want to get your thoughts. It's interesting. I know a few years ago you were a huge Jacob Trouba fan.
Yep.
And you know, years later, it's looking like you were right on that one. Who's the defenseman you like best in this year's draft?
That's a great question, because I think you got 3 in the top 10 in Werenski, Provorov, and Hanifin that are very, very good, but all slightly different. And I think Provorov is probably the most well-rounded. And getting to see him play firsthand against the Oil Kings, he was outstanding. He was terrific. I think Hanifin is more of a defensive guy, whereas Werenski has more offensive potential than Hanifin, but all 3 are really strong. I guess I'd probably lean toward Hanifin, but I haven't seen him nearly as much as I've seen Provorov, and I've become a big fan of Provorov's here down the stretch. But I'd probably still lean towards Hanifin, but that's based mostly on people I speak with and their opinion rather than the opinion I've had when I've watched him. At the World Junior, he was okay, but he didn't blow me away. I liked him better there than Werenski, but I thought both of them were good there, too.
Yeah, Provorov to me, I watched a few of those Oil King playoff games. For a young kid, his gap control to me was phenomenal, and he was so good at anticipating and getting on guys. It's just, you know, I sat there with the scout watching that game, and I mean, there's a lot of guys who just love that about him, and they're like, some of those stuff you just can't teach.
Well, and he's got the size. I mean, he can throw hits. He's not afraid to take a hit to make a play. He skates really well. He's deceptive at breaking out of his zone. He'll throw a little move on a guy, and you'll think he's passing, and he ends up just deking a guy out and carrying it up the ice, and there's so much he can do. I didn't really see a flaw in his game. So the only concern I have is that whole Russian thing. And, you know, with a guy that's been here for 3 or 4 years, to me that almost indicates a real desire to be here in North America and not play back at home. So I almost wave it for a guy like that. So Provorov, I think he's going to be a great pick for somebody as long as he fits in well with their system. And I just think he's really attracted me here over the last couple months.
Yeah, there's lots to like about him. What about the centerman in the draft, excluding the top 2?
Outside of the top 2, so then you're dropping down to Dylan Strome's probably the next guy. Although I like Mitch Marner, usually plays on the wing, but I know he can play some in the middle as well. The guy out of the WHL I still really like is Matt Barzal, even though he's missed a chunk of the year this season. And I know there are people who like Nick Merkley and Kelowna more, and Jansen Harkins and Prince George more, but I certainly like Matt Barzal more than both of those guys. I think he's just an outstanding player. He's super fast, and his hands work as fast as his legs do, and he's a smart player as well. So he's just he's not a big hulking guy. So, I mean, if you're okay with a guy that's 5'11 and 180 pounds and draws comparisons to Claude Giroux and Matt Duchene, I'd take a guy like that on my team. So Matt Barzal is probably the guy out of the dub for me, but if you're looking for the next centerman behind McDavid and Eichel, I'd suggest it's probably Dylan Strome.
Where do you stand on Krause?
He's probably a guy that I would let somebody else draft, to be quite honest. I think he'll probably go in the top 10, but I would like somebody with a little bit more offensive upside or a stellar defenseman if I'm picking in the top 10. So for me, I think Lawson Krause is a guy who could play a long time on a team and might be a second-line guy, but if I'm picking in the top 10, I probably want somebody with a higher ceiling than that for me.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Right, big kid. I understand, and I know that you know his points increased a little bit when Bennett went there, and that because good players have to play with good players. So I totally understand that, but it is very rare. Like I know it's funny. People are saying, "Well, look at Sean Monahan. Monahan still had 78 points in 58 games, right? Yeah. Like well over a point a game player, and you know, he was like 1.3 basically. And you know, you look at Krause in his draft year. I know he's a big kid, and maybe that. Part of it that it's going to take him some time to catch up to it, but yeah, to be, I think he's going to be a very good player, but he's not necessarily a top 10 pick.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on that one. I just think it's when you have the opportunity, it should be, unless you're the Oilers, a rare opportunity to pick in the top 5 or 10. You need to swing for the fences a bit, and for me, I'm not taking a defensively sound second line guy in my top 10, especially in a draft that is this strong.
Who are the guys outside the top 10 that you like the most? Because every year in the draft, you know, you look at Jordan Eberle's draft year. He was taken 22nd overall, and you know, besides Stamkos, you know, yeah. He's the best offensive player in that draft. So,
well, if we're going by NHL Central Scouting's list, I mentioned Matt Barzal. He's ranked number 11. He'd certainly be a guy that would be at the tail end of my top 10. I like Kyle Connor, who plays for the Youngstown Phantoms in the USHL. He's got a little bit more size, although he hasn't filled out yet. But lightning quick, and the offense is there. He's leading the USHL in scoring, so I like that combination as with the, you know, above average size slightly. I mean, he's 6'1", maybe 6'1" and a half, but he's still only 180-ish pounds, so I think he's got room to fill out. But I like him a lot. And there's some interesting guys. The guys who I don't get to see mostly out of the queue, a guy like Daniel Sprong, who's listed at 6 foot and 180-ish pounds, but is really fast and offensive minded. And I guess I'm kind of tipping my hat at what I like in a player, and I like speed and offense because I think you need both of those things in the NHL these days. So those are three guys that immediately come to mind for me. And if you're looking for more thicker, tougher, power forward type guys, then I go with Paul Bittner and Brock Besser. Besser plays for Waterloo in the USHL, and Paul Bittner we got to see a lot with the Portland Winterhawks over the last few years, and he's having another strong season. And I think there will be a lot of people who say Bittner's points are coming because he plays with Patan and Oliver Bjorkstrand in Portland. That's fair to some degree, but you also have to be able to play with players like that too, and I think he can.
Flavor, always good to catch up with you, man. Who are you picking tonight?
I am taking Providence to beat Omaha. There's another Oiler prospect in this game, by the way. Tyler Vessel plays for the Omaha Mavericks. But I'm going to take Providence to win that game about 3-1. And I like North Dakota to beat Boston University. I'm going to say that one's going to be a 4-3 game, maybe even overtime. But I will take the former Fighting Sioux. They can't call them that anymore. So I'm going UND and Providence in the national championship game on Saturday.
Yeah, Vessel's the small forward that they took, I think, in the sixth round last year.
Yep, later pick, sixth, seventh round, and his coach just raved about him on Monday on our Frozen Four Coaches show, said he could be the captain of their team next year and had a really strong season as a freshman this year. So might be a late bloomer to watch for.
As one of those guys who likely will play you know, the full 4 years in college, and then you see what happens. You get a lot stronger. By the time he comes out, he'll be 21, 22 years of age.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Guy, appreciate it. We'll tune in this weekend. Thanks for your time.
All right, talk to you later.